In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The day of Pentecost had arrived. The disciples were all assembled in the cenacle. Suddenly, a noise came from heaven, like that of a wind that blows with force. Dear faithful, the Holy Spirit today manifests himself in various sensitive forms. He manifested himself in the form of fire. He manifested himself in the form of language, but also in the form of a strong wind. We easily understand the two first symbols, but how can we understand the symbolism of the wind? These three metaphors bear a great wealth of significance, which must now be emphasized. The reality of the wind can make us think of movements. In fact, when the Holy Spirit comes, he sets in motion our spiritual faculties. The idea of movement is opposed to the idea of immobility or slow and difficult mobility. Faced with this opposition, the gospel becomes clearer and we understand better how important it is to receive the Holy Ghost. Indeed, before he sets our spirits in motion, we can see with clarity, with lucidity, the infortunate state of our soul. My dear brothers and sisters, we usually suffer from a lack of spiritual breath. We often have a lack of spiritual mobility. We have a strong inertia, a lack of readiness to receive and follow the motions of the Holy Ghost. We have a tendency to postpone, to reschedule and reschedule. Tomorrow. We must briefly recall the causes of our spiritual gravity and thus understand the specific role that the Holy Ghost must play in this time of Pentecost. The first cause of our lack of spiritual breath is our human nature. We have the wounds of original sin. We should not be surprised to not be angels. Original sin has deeply wounded our nature, and it is infected with a congenital weakness. We have a spiritual laziness, often very marked, in front of the demands of holiness. Our soul is too easily moved towards sensible goods and easily forgets the supernatural realities. Second cause, our will in the aftermath of original sin has lost much strength in its capacity for desire. We weakly desire God's will and holiness. Our will is very often vague, terribly hesitant. We fear any commitments. the third cause of our lack of determined movement under the motions of the spirit. Our heart is often immobilized by paralyzing fears. We are often like the apostles before the gift of Pentecost. They were all locked up in the cenacle for fear of the Jews. And in matter of fears, the devil always loves to play, exaggerating them. Our fears might be real, most of the times they are real, but the devil will press on them to paralyze us and to make things more difficult than they are. The first cause, and this cause is more serious, we are sometimes in a state of discouragement. That's true. Sometimes it is to such a point that the virtue of hope is profoundly attacked, altered, diminished, and weakened. Here are four causes that show us the necessity today to be visited by the Holy Spirit. Dear faithful, without the Spirit, we have our hearts focused, rifted to material things. We have a disturbed love of our spiritual comforts. We have difficulty leaving our spiritual sleepers when God asks us. The fire of the Holy Ghost is therefore necessary to inflame our hearts. Otherwise, they remain incapable of great spiritual desires. We must receive the Holy Spirit so that our hearts may be cleansed of the disordered lust. We need the Holy Spirit so that our desiring ability may be healed, strengthened, corrected, guided. Our hearts, without the gifts of the Holy Ghost, is incapable of burning with an ardent desire for Christian virtues and heavenly goods. To move constantly in the constant and persevering efforts towards heavenly good, it is necessary to receive the strength of the Holy Spirit. When our hearts are assailed, attacked by thoughts of discouragement, we must quickly invoke the Holy Spirit to exorcise the devil's discouragement. Discouragement is always a mark of the devil. He doesn't want us to succeed. When despair, which is a step after discouragement, when despair seizes our hearts, we must quickly react and shout, "Get behind me, Satan. What you offer is bad. What you offer is a poison drink. I hate your designs. I hate your thoughts, I hate your suggestions, I hate your actions, and I hate your influences. Get behind me, Satan. I will never enter into your views, your plans." Dear faithful, today, let us fervently invoke the finger of God so that with his divine touch, we may be delivered from the temptations of the devil and again animated by holy love of God and holy resolutions. May God send us his Holy Spirit so that by his divine presence, we are always freed from the presence of the devil, who always seeks to make us fall, to drag us to his own despair, his pride, his hatred of everything. May God have mercy on us. And today, when we will receive communion, may we resolutely and definitely renounce all friendships with sin and the one who inspired us. Good tree bears good fruits. If a friendship doesn't bear good fruits, it's always better to run away. Dear faithful, may the very sweet fire of God's love give us a powerful resolution to forever detest sin and to detest mediocrity in our everyday actions. We are made for heaven. So we cannot like, you know, what is mediocre. Today, let us pray that the Spirit may renew our whole life with these seven gifts, the gifts most of us received fully when we were confirmed. And thus, we will be more loving. We will be more virtuous. We will be more fervent. We will be more Catholic, simply. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.